Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
America is debating health insurance reform. Some Americans are trying to disrupt those debates.
The American people want health care reform, and we're going to do health care reform. In spite of the loud, shrill voices trying to interrupt town hall meetings and just throw a monkey wrench into everything, we're going to continue to be positive and work hard.
That's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid on the spreading wave of protests by so-called Tea Party patriots aimed at disrupting healthcare town meetings. Yesterday, we had Republican New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett on to voice his opposition to the Democrats' health reform bills. Now a New Jersey Democrat, Congressman Bill Pascrell of the 8th District, which includes the cities of Patterson and Passaic, the suburbs of Totowa, Wayne, Pompton Lakes, Little Falls, Clifton, and more. Congressman Pascrell, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Brian, it's always a pleasure to be on your program.
Have you done any of these town halls in your district yet or run into any of these Tea Partiers?
No, we've had a tremendous amount of calls over the last month, I would say, Brian, and pretty much evenly split between those who are misinformed and those who know a little bit about what we're trying to do. Those who know what we're trying to do may not agree with us either. We're going to have Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, a telephone town meeting, which proved to be very successful last year. No one would ever accuse me of trying to hide behind anything. I'm very, very visible in my district.
A telephone town, is that like a giant conference call?
Yes, and people are able to ask questions and usually get in within an hour and a half and get it in close to 25 to 35 questions. And a lot of those questions, of course, are what a lot of other people would have asked. And you get thousands and thousands of people on the call. Yeah. And then what it does is generate calls to your regular office and or letters or emails, et cetera,
Well, that's great. Before you go, I'll have you give the time and date and the phone number of that so listeners in your district can decide if they want to participate. But you talked about all these informed people and uninformed people who you're coming in contact with. What's the most frequent question that you get?
The most frequent question I get is, what is this going to cost? And am I going to have to give up a lot of the latitude and longitude which I have in my present program? And I assure them that I would never support a program where folks would have to drop their doctor or go to a doctor which I decide upon or some other bureaucrat. I would never support a program which is going to move them in a direction which they don't want to go. And I would only support a program if there is a robust, what I would consider to be a robust public plan, which provides an option, which provides competition, and which provides choice. And that is why I'm not an advocate of a single-payer plan. I think that it's something maybe 50 years from now we may look to. But I don't think it's the time. I don't think the American people want to go in that specific direction.
I want to follow up on single payer in a minute, but I want to invite our listeners in for a bit of a town hall meeting right here. It's kind of our rolling town hall meeting this summer on the Brian Lehrer Show. This is our third member of Congress this week, and we're going to continue to have players in this debate from Congress itself, from interested industries, from patients' advocates groups, and anyone else who you suggest at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show and post who we should have on this daily or almost daily this month rolling town meeting on health reform. And listeners, here is Congressman Pascrell right now, a supporter of the health reform efforts coming out of the Democratic Congress, particular ones. There are several versions.
Yes.
And as you hear, he supports one that includes a robust public option, but not the single-payer option. What do you want to ask him? What do you want him to know? Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your comment or question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Give us any point of view, but if you try to disrupt, well, I have the power to put you on hold. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Congressman Pascrell, Anthony Weiner, the congressman from Brooklyn and Queens, was here yesterday promoting his single-payer bill, which apparently will get a full floor vote. He was promised that by Speaker Pelosi over the weekend. Why not single payer? He says this is Medicare for all, basically, and Medicare recipients are probably the most satisfied of those who have health insurance in America. They can choose their doctor, and they don't have to deal with insurance companies like the privates. Why doesn't that accomplish the goal that you were describing before in the simplest and most cost-effective way?
Because you're taking choice away from choosing a particular plan, and I think you're removing the power of competition. I think the answer is a strong public health insurance option that would provide all of us with a choice and competes with the private insurers. I mean, what skin is in this for the insurance companies? The only way you're going to get skin in from the insurance companies is to make sure that they have competition, and I think that's what the public plan will do. It's not going to put anybody out of business. There'll be a lot of targets for insurance companies or individuals who are going to go with them. Even the CBO. See, people choose to quote the CBO when they want to. They have selective memory
here.
The
Congressional Budget Office,
which
has some grim estimates of what this is going to cost.
Right, because one of the reasons why they have grim estimates is that they don't put a price tag, and they have, as we say in the business, they don't score many of the reforms that we've suggested. Bundling, investments in wellness and prevention, a comparative effectiveness, eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse, measures that strengthen primary care, et cetera, et cetera. They put no price tag on that. So what we're trying to do, we're committed to making this revenue neutral. But, and even on the tax portion, Brian, there's a trigger before any taxes are going to be collected or assessed on any individual. I think that the Ways and Means, I'm on the Ways and Means Committee, I think the bill we put forth is a workable bill. It's not perfect. The enemy, you've heard that many times, the enemy of the good is the perfect. But I think it's heading in the right direction. There's a lot of reforms in there, a lot of way, and the patient is center stage. That's what this is all about.
All right. Now, I know that Ways and Means Committee bill, and we had the chairman of the committee, Congressman Charles Rangel, the other day supporting it, has a tax hike, an income tax surcharge on people, depending on their family situation, making about $300,000 a year or more. And
right.
Lori in Montclair is calling in with a question about that, I think. Hi, Lori. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Thank you.
So I just learned about a month ago that we're having a substantial tax increase in New Jersey on personal income tax. It's retroactive. Our real estate taxes are the highest in the country, and they're no longer tax deductible. And we're going to have the expiration of the Bush tax increases, and we're going to have a surcharge for health care reform. My husband's a small business owner, so tell me how this helps small business owners, because a lot of small business owners are in this income category you're discussing, and those are the people that you are taxing out of business.
Well, Lori, we certainly don't want to do that. It's an excellent question. If your husband is a small business owner, let's say, is it less than 10 employees, Lori?
Yes.
Well, then he's exempt, so nothing's going to happen to him.
Wait a minute. I thought it was based on payroll, and the payroll had to be $250,000 or less. Is that correct?
Let me ask you what the payroll is.
I'd rather not say.
I'm sorry?
I'd rather not say. But
but the point I'm trying to make is...
But he's not exempt. First of all, he already provides medical insurance for his employees.
Well, it's fine. So, they're going to be able to keep that, Lori. And they're going to be able to keep the doctors that they attend to. But your husband somewhere down the line is going to have an opportunity to look at what these options are and decide whether he wants to keep what he has. No one's going to take the insurance away from him. No one's going to take...
We're not talking about that. What I'm talking about is paying close to 59% in taxes overall. How can people... How can families sustain that?
Well,
and,
you know what's happened, Lori, to small businesses,
well,
Lori.
One at a time. Congressman, go ahead.
You know what's happened to small businesses. I mean, most of the bankruptcies that have occurred over the past 7 or 8 years are because of medical expenses. We're all trying to do, I hope, the same thing, and that is to provide quality care and provide it at a cost where everybody's got skin in this game. I don't think there's any problems with that. Do you think so, Lori?
Well, I don't think. I mean, I don't know if we could have any more skin in this game. And everywhere
well, you're
you
paying,
look,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's upper middle class communities that are being significantly impacted, and those are the people that pay the bulk tax. And you know that's certainly about New Jersey. I don't know how many times you can go back to that well before that has a trickle down effect.
Well, we want it to be fair, and there's no sense in if I've read the bill because I had something to do with writing it. But the point of the matter, and over close to 1,100 pages, I think it's a fair assessment. I don't think we're going after anybody in the Ways and Means bill. I can't speak for the Commerce bill. I can't speak for what's happened over in the Senate. Whatever's happened in the Senate, I read in the newspaper like you read in the newspaper. But there'll be a coming together. There's no sense that I get in any of my fellows that when we sit around and the young ladies who sit around the table, there's no sense that we're going after anybody. But everybody, when you're talking about 48 million, for instance, uninsured people, you and I, Lori, your husband, are paying for those people that are not insured. We're paying right now $1,200 for every one of them. We're paying into this. We don't even know we are.
Lori, I'm going to move on and get some other voices on. Thank you very much for your call with Democratic Congressman Bill Pascrell from the 8th District, Patterson, Passaic, Totowa, Wayne, Pompton Lakes, Little Falls, Clifton, and thereabouts. But to follow up on Lori.
Sure.
And your answer. Aren't the Democrats sending out a fundamentally mixed message here? We're not spending enough money on health care, and we're spending too much money on health care. Is that what you're telling the American people?
Well, in many ways, we are spending too much. We have built-in inefficiencies in the system, and I think no one will argue. And I think that
at the same time that you're saying you need to raise taxes to spend more, so is that a mixed message?
We may have to do that to make it revenue neutral, but we're not going to raise taxes unless we get to the point where the savings, and I mentioned them before, cover our expenses. And we're not going to do that. There's a trigger in this, and we accept that trigger before any taxes are going to be raised for anyone. We do exempt most of the small businesses that we've talked about, but that is a fact of life. We want competition. We want people to be able to make choices about their doctors, about their insurance. But the 48 million people, and by the way, at any given time, Brian, over the last 3 or 4 years, there was at least 60 to 70 million people who were uninsured at any given time in any one of those years. That's unacceptable. And what we're doing now is unacceptable because we can't afford to continue what we're doing because it'll take up 25% of our total income in about 10, 20 years, and we can't afford that. So what I'm saying is we need to come up with the reform of the system. And that's, I think, very, very, very important.
So people are afraid, I'm going to follow up one more time, of being taxed more, but because we also need to control costs, having benefits that are less.
We hope that we can save. We hope that we can stop fraud. We can hope we can stop the abuse, the recidivism in the healthcare system so that we don't have to raise taxes. I'm not naive enough to think that we're going to make this revenue neutral without, in some manner, shape, or form, increasing to someone, to those who can afford it, to pay a little bit more into it so that all of our brothers and sisters are covered out there. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we stop the process of hiding these people because we all pay for it anyway, Brian.
Jawed in Edison, you're on WNYC with Congressman Pascrell. Hello, Jawed.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I was a president of the union last 20 years, and I was negotiating a health care contract. Each contract is up to 3 years expired.
Sadie, we have a terrible phone connection. You were the president of what?
I was the president of the union in Edison, is a Westinghouse. And that went to a China. They moved to the China. And when they moved to the China, and I was paying a COBRA from my own pocket for my family.
Right. You were getting a health insurance plan through COBRA through your old company. And?
$1,250. And the same time, I'm collecting unemployment is $500 a week. So out of $2,000, I'm paying $1,250 to the COBRA. And then plus, I have to go to the doctor. I pay that $18 is a co-payment for my children and myself.
So because we have such a terrible connection, Jawed, forgive me. What's your question for Congressman Pascrell?
So I am in favor of the public plan, should have a public plan. I don't mind to be paid that to the government, to my tax, where my health care is secure.
Thank you very much. He's willing to be taxed for the sake of security.
And well, knowing what his income is would be helpful because with all probability, Brian, when I hear what kind of job he has, he will not be taxed. He'll be exempt.
Harold in Totowa, you're on WNYC. Hello, Harold.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Congressman Pascrell, I vote for you. I live in Totowa, a town where you put out your signs, and the next day they're in the city yard. And I say you back the veterans 100%. You back Medicare. You're very, very good with retirees. And now you're saying
is this your press person?
Payer.
Oh, I see. Go ahead.
I didn't hear that question. I didn't hear the last point.
You didn't hear me. Okay, I'm sorry. You back our veterans.
100%.
100%. You back Medicare. 100%. You help.
Yes. Well, I back it. Excuse me one second, Harold. I back Medicare, but I have, since I came to the Congress, been fighting to get my brothers and sisters in the Congress to fight against the abuse and the fraud that exists in Medicare. I want that very clear.
So, Harold, your question is really about single payer, isn't it?
Yes, it should be single payer. And insurance companies are not so honest. You know, you're saying there's fraud in Medicare.
Well,
there's fraud in everything
I want,
in life.
Harold, let me, before we have the single payer debate again, Harold, you're satisfied with Medicare?
Oh, 100%. My doctors are.
What do you think of the plan to have this board of independent physicians and others who look at the Medicare reimbursements and suggest cuts because Medicare, if it keeps spending at its current rate, is going to go broke?
Well, the tears that roll down my doctor's eyes when he says Medicare doesn't really give him enough, I don't know what he's going to do.
You're looking for the crocodile in the office?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell him doctors used to come to the house for $2, and they'd accept a quarter a week.
But we had Congressman Garrett on the show yesterday, Congressman Pascrell,
yes,
who said that the public option and the way it's going to try to control costs is going to scare doctors out of the business. They're going to be making so little money.
No. That's like saying that the insurance companies are going to be scared out of the business. And, you know, I would agree with Harold that from the outside, I think the single payer looks very good. I'm just concerned that it goes to the very heart of competition and choice, which I don't accept. And I'm sure we're going to find a meeting of the minds here between these two ideas, which look like they're relatively in conflict with one another, but probably not. When folks talk about the government taking over, well, we don't want the government to take over. We want people to have a choice. But the government has a responsibility, particularly if there's 48 million people who don't have insurance, and at any given year, 65 million of them don't have insurance at any given time. So I think Harold is right on. I support VA 100%, support Medicare with all of the caveats which I mentioned before. These are public plans. These are plans that have worked for American citizens, particularly those who went to war, those who are over 65.
But again, his question is really about single payer. He's got single payer health insurance,
right?
Government funded single payer health insurance, Medicare.
Well,
and he's absolutely satisfied with it. He knows that. He's saying, why can't my kids have that? Why can't everybody have that?
Well, because they may not want that. They'll have a choice to accept the public plan, or they can keep on with the insurance that they have. Or if they don't have insurance, they'll go into an exchange.
So the public plan, you're saying, would be like Medicare, so they can make that choice if they so choose.
Hopefully defined by Medicare costs rather than negotiated. I think we're going to get ourselves into deep trouble if we do that, because then the government takes on a very different role than it had before.
Now, here's another take on Medicare, because, as I said, Scott Garrett, your Republican colleague from nearby, I think you share Passaic County with him and some other parts.
That's correct.
We had a caller with him yesterday, Ian from Plainfield, who has private insurance and described how his 23-month-old son recently had two x-rays that ended up costing $14,000. And here was what Congressman Garrett said about that.
It would probably have been even higher had you gone in there and told the hospital, I have no insurance, but I can afford it. They probably said, hey, it's $20,000. Why does that happen? Here's why it happens. When that hospital puts in that x-ray, and if you were a senior citizen or you are under some other program like Medicaid or Medicaid, the amount of money that Medicare would pay the hospital would be a fraction of that. So the hospital is not being paid the full amount that it would cost them to do it. So what do? The hospital does cost shifting, and they shift a lot of their expenses from the Medicare and Medicaid line over to the private pay. That means that the guy who has no insurance gets stuck with a huge bill. The guy like you that has a has private pay insurance get stuck with an outrageous bill, and it's all because of the public option that's, or the public plan that's out there, Medicare, Medicaid. I was with a radiologist the other day.
Wait, you're saying that the private health insurance, the fee for these procedures that Ian is calling about on his baby are because of Medicare?
Yeah.
Well, I listened to that interview yesterday, Brian, and I agree with one of the points that Scott is making, and that is people really don't know what the bill is because particularly if they're covered, they don't want to know what the bill is. And so that's how things get added on. That's why we talk about overutilization. That's why we talk about overtesting. And that is why there's this bill that we're talking about, the legislation that came out of Ways and Means, deals very specifically with best practices. What's the best practice? Let's look at comparative effectiveness between one place and another place. It gives the secretary authority to examine what are the best practices because we have great doctors and great hospitals. We have a horrible delivery system, and we can't afford the system that exists now. I want to move to a system that we can't afford. That doesn't mean your premiums are going to dive. That doesn't mean that your costs are going to appreciably go down. It means that we're going to start to level off and play on a level playing field through competition and through choice.
We're just about out of time for today's installment of our rolling healthcare town meeting this summer. Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from Passaic and around there. Before you go, two quick things. One, we're looking to have a health insurance company representative on tomorrow from one of the private insurers.
Right.
If we get them, what's your question for that private health insurance company?
What skin in the game is it that you have for the insurance companies, many of whom are employed in certain states where there's only one or two major insurance companies where there's no competition? Do you favor competition or are you against competition?
And Governor Corzine, this is a New Jersey question. Down in the latest poll to 36% compared to 50% for Chris Christie. What's going wrong with Corzine and should the voters abandon him?
I think he's done a great job. The budget is less than it was 4 years ago. Which state can say that? He was dealt a tough hand when he became the governor. Do I agree with everything he's done? No. But, you know, only God is perfect. And I believe I will support him, and I believe he'll be reelected governor of this state.
We'll have to fact check that. You're saying the governor has cut the state of New Jersey budget in real dollars?
$1.5 billion less than it was 4 years ago.
Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from
Patterson. You provide a great service, Brian. You don't realize it, but you provide a great service. Good talking to
you. I hope you think so. Thank you very much. Patterson, Passaic, Toto, Wayne, Pompton Lakes, Little Falls, Clifton, and more. We'll keep having members of Congress, people from insurance companies, you, Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up in a minute, look who's getting involved in driving while distracted. It's the Obama administration. They're thinking of withholding money to states that don't ban texting behind the wheel. Good idea. We'll talk about it in a minute.